It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and yes, indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Quentin and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. How are you?
Hey, it's good to be back. Good
got
to be
the haircut.
Back. Yep. I got the haircut. Yeah,
looking bright and tight.
I was going to say it's pretty short.
any 100-pound catfish caught this week?
I haven't heard any this week, but there was a lot of good ones caught.
Yeah,
I saw numerous posts on Facebook and stuff. You know, 70s and 80s.
Oh, so. Wow! I was just joking because we've had such a hot start to the spring season. We've had three
over 100 that I know. Yeah.
Already. So it sounds like it is absolutely red hot out there. We're going to get into some of those experiences and what's happening on local bodies of water. We'll, of course, bring you the fishing report a little bit later on in the show. And we're going to have two guests today. Two of our regular guests are going to be together. We're going to get Mike Marfell and then Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty. They are both going to be joining us in the next segment to recap the big bass bash. Had a great conversation last week with one of the officials from that tournament, and neither Mike or Gabe fished it, but I know that they have all the recap.
Yes. They got all the good info.
Yeah, and in fact, I believe we'll confirm with Gabe 10 Horse Monty here in a minute, but I think the winners of the tournament are going to be on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel this week.
Okay,
so,
that's cool.
That'll be a fantastic conversation. I love that you're a tournament guy, and you've structured tournaments yourself, and been a part of many. I like when tournaments have their own unique spin. It can't be like unique for the sake of being unique, like we're just trying to get weird. But I like unique tournaments that are, that have a cool benefit or a cool way to do something differently that still respects. The tournament and the fishing and the Big Bass Bash being a 1-day tournament with all that matters is that one. Fish.
One big fish, yep.
And it's a $100,000 big fish, and then I think second place and 20. I love that.
Yeah, that's a neat idea. Yeah,
it's the punter, the puncher's chance. You know, like of the boxer, yep, like everybody's got a puncher's chance. Like everybody's got
land
that one big fish and walk away with $100,000. This is such a cool tournament and perfect time of the year to be talking about all of that stuff. What else is happening at the shop? What are you hearing from your customers about guys that are getting out outside on the water here recently?
Oh yeah, fishing's really. I mean, it's real. We're just about there. I mean, we're probably maybe a week from the peak of stuff really busting loose. I mean, it always that last week, April, first week of May. That's when all heck breaks loose usually.
Yeah,
as you start getting crappier on, bass are biting. Even the bluegill are starting to bite better. The catfish are pre-spawn. So May's just a tremendous month for fishing.
Are the cicadas going to be a problem?
I don't think so. Additional food.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week a little bit, and that it's amazing to know that they know, like the fish, like nature knows, right? So the fish know that there's going to be all this extra food around for the next 6 weeks or whatever it is. And so they're going to be looking for it. So if you can duplicate, we talked about that last week.
You can duplicate that. Throw
something top water and try to take advantage of it. I meant more for like the, is it going to be an annoyance or a hindrance in any way of just moving around? I know it's not going to affect the fishing, but like the sound, the swarms, the they're everywhere kind of thing. Do you think that that's going to cause any type of
from what I've seen in the past, they kind of
yeah, we've done this before.
You know, they don't. Yes, it's just they don't really bother people.
No,
it's just they're noisy.
They're very noisy.
You know, and you'll see some flying around, and you know, those sometimes they'll you know get stuck in your hair and stuff. Right. Not my hair right now, but
me either.
You know, but yeah. Other than that, I mean, they're pretty much harmless. And
they had we did a story on Columbo and Katie this week about I want to say it was South Carolina. I guess they're out in full force in some areas already, and they're supposed to be here any time now because the conditions are ripe for them to come early. So you know, they could be popping up here any time. That in some town in South Carolina that it's gone full blown. There's been multiple 911 calls because of how loud they are, that people. Even though they know there are cicadas and they know they're loud and they know they're like, they don't think that that's what it is. That's like, they said it sounds like a siren or a whine is one of the words that they used to describe it. And so people were literally calling 911 in this South Carolina town saying that they're hearing something in the sky and it's not the cicadas because it's a siren sound and it's super loud. So I don't think people are, you know, if you remember, it might have been you telling a story about being outside and you literally have to yell almost.
They're loud.
They're that loud. So you be ready for it to be that loud. I think that people don't realize just how, it's a trillion cicadas. They're going to make some noise.
They're going to make some noise.
But yeah, people calling 911 saying they're hearing a siren in the sky. Like, no.
Yep, it's just cicadas.
It's just the cicadas. Is anybody trying to do like a gimmick lure? Like, have you heard?
I haven't seen anything. I mean,
that's a chance. Somebody's got to slap something together and get it in stores ASAP.
I mean, there are cicada lures. I mean, yeah. River to Sea makes one, I believe. And there's probably a couple more that make them too.
Are they top water?
Yeah, they're top water. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm trying.
They're a popper type.
Okay.
Type bait, you know.
Gotcha.
A hula popper is going to work. A chitterbug is going to work.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
If you're
going
to try to duplicate a cicada, you almost have to. The gimmick would be the vibration.
Yep. Yeah, something that would make vibrate.
Right.
Because that's what they kind of do. When they try to take off, they just sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're in the water. It's tough for them, but their wings vibrate.
Right. Right. Yeah. They're terrible flyers. They're dumb bugs like June bugs. And they're going to be everywhere. But yeah, I think it's going to be, I think like, you know, like the full moon, you know, it's always a little bit better fishing conditions during the full moon.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to going fishing while this is all happening to see for myself if the aggression, the feeding.
Yeah, I just remember noticeable. As a kid up on Gillespie Lake, parents had a cabin up there. You know, when the cicadas were on, that's what the fish were eating. I mean, we looked everywhere to try to see them on the trees and grab them.
Yeah,
because you put them on your hook, so, you caught a fish.
Yeah. So how do you hook? They seem like they're just hollow.
We just hooked. I remember we just hooked it through them.
Yeah.
And just flipped them out there.
They stayed on.
Yeah, they stayed.
I guess they just got to sit on. They just sit there, float on the water.
They sat there, hit the water. You know, they weren't always. Sometimes they were already dead, but the other times they just vibrated a little bit. Bam, there's the fish.
See?
You know.
Topwater bass fishing is my favorite
type
of fishing anyway. So that is just, that's just right up my alley. Yeah, that's just like perfect.
Yeah, the fish just hit them. Yeah, perfect.
Yep, it's I can't wait when we're in the full-blown cicada, they're everywhere, go out and go fishing and just see if I can notice the impact.
Yeah. I got some at the shop. I bought them kind of one of them deals out of China, and they're a cicada shaped bait, and they got a wheel
available at Bluff City Outdoors.
Yeah, we probably got about 10 or 15 of them left there. A guy was buying them last year. He bought all the ones of one color.
I gotta come out and get one.
Caught his biggest fish he ever caught on them, and it does look like a cicada. It's perfect looking, and it's got a little wheel on it instead of flappers. In the middle.
To stir the water?
Yeah.
It's a wheel?
It's got a wheel in there. like right in the middle of the bait. It's different looking.
But it's not like the blades of a buzz bait or a spinner.
It's a little plastic. Yeah, it is like a little paddle wheel type.
Okay,
thing.
Okay, gotcha. There. And that's that. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
You know, when that's you pull it definitely. Hit some commotion.
That makes more sense to me than a popper type retrieve when you're trying to mimic a cicada.
Or, yep.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. It's gonna be something. It's gonna be something, but it's gonna be hopefully just add to what is already shaping up to be a crazy season out there. As I mentioned, we're gonna get you the latest on what is happening on the water when we get you our fishing report here in a few minutes. We're gonna talk to Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and professional fisherman Mike Marfell in a moment. But as we're talking about all these great outdoor things, the other season that is starting off and getting into full swing, and somebody that we talked to, is that it?
That's it. It's got two little wings, two little paddle wheels on each side, one on each side.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the cicada lure.
Hey, that's
topwater lure, two treble hooks. And the paddlefish are where the wings would be.
Yep, the little paddles are where the wings would be.
I like that because that's going to make the fish want to hit the middle.
Yep,
and hit that treble hook in the dead center there.
Yep, that's one we got over there.
Oh,
looks
I
good,
see,
doesn't it?
I see some. I got to talk to. I got to talk to Quentin. I see some video content.
Yep.
Here's my standard buzz bait on one line, and the cicada lure on the other. In the middle of the cicada madness, in the middle of the cicada forest.
Yep, this
and is a, cast them both out there and see what happens. See which one hits first.
Yeah, because you're going to make a different.
That's
action,
so fun.
You know, I mean, they're going to. It's going to be the buzz bait spins a different way.
Right,
those
right.
Spin kind of more like the wings would move.
So is it a constant retrieve like a buzz bait then to keep those things moving?
You could, or you no. Every time you just sort of twitch it, they
you just give it a little pop and then
they
make
move
them.
A little bit. Yeah.
Gotcha. So. Oh, see. Yep. I like it. Yep. I like it.
Yeah, like I said, I got about 15 of them there.
Well, so. I'm gonna be buying at least one of them. So yeah, I'm gonna be buying at least one of them. And I see some good viral video content with that. And yeah, because you can use that every year. Cicadas come every year. They'll come not by the trillions, but they come out every year. Fish eat them.
Fish gonna eat.
Yeah.
Fish eat.
That's
bugs.
A good investment.
Yep.
In one of these cicada lures.
Fish eat bugs. At.
Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois. All right, as I mentioned, the other thing that's getting into full swing right now is grilling season. Great time to be out barbecuing. We just, speaking of Columbo and Katie, on our show earlier this week, we had Jonathan Heslop in studio from Rockwood Lump Charcoal, which is a great local family-owned business, much like Bluff City Outdoors. And he said kind of his season is perfectly coincides with fishing season. Like this is,
yep.
He's on the starting line right now, and it's just starting to really ramp up and get into full gear. More and more people each and every year are finding Rockwood Lump Charcoal. Not only are you supporting a great local family-owned business, you are supporting local industry. Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the country, and you're using the best product on the market. They have been ranked the number one consumer-rated charcoal across the country 9 years in a row. So just checking every box there. And then on top of all that, it's just a superior product. If you are used to using the traditional briquettes that are full of just unnecessary filler and chemicals, you don't know what you're missing. You'll use the Rockwood Lump Charcoal one time, and you'll be like me. You'll never want to go back. Rockwood delivers a superior experience. It burns hotter. It burns faster. It burns cleaner. Gives you more control of the entire process than the traditional briquettes. And you can find Rockwood Lump Charcoal at over 100 area stores, including all the Dobbs Hardware locations, Straub's, Deerberg's, and many, many more And find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, we had the Big Bass Bash last weekend at the Lake of the Ozarks. Want to get a recap from that tournament and just talk about this very exciting time to be getting out of the water and get the fishing season going full steam ahead. And we are going to have that conversation with a pair of guests this weekend. Guys that have shared a boat together many, many times, going to share the radio show together. Mike Marfell, professional fisherman Mike Marfell, and Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, will both be with us next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Damn sure wanna be.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Working for me.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Quentin and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. And as I mentioned, joining us on the line now, two guests for the price of one. We don't usually do this, Mark.
Man, that's nice.
Yeah, we're getting fancy this week. We've got a couple guys who have not just sharing the radio show and the guest spot this week, but have shared the boat many times. You take that however you want. You want to get dirty with that joke? That's on you. That's a you problem. That's a you problem, not a me problem. Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, and of course Gabe Montgomery, aka the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. How are you both?
I'm doing good, man.
I'm good
here too. This professional fisherman's locked in an office today, buddy. But other than that, we're good.
Yeah.
We're working our butt off so we can go fishing next weekend.
That's right. Even professional fishermen can't get out every single day. I wanted to ask you, Gabe. I know that you have the winner, I believe, from this past weekend's Big Bass Bash. We had one of the officials from that tournament on our show last week. If you missed that conversation, just a great conversation about a really cool tournament and just a really cool bass fishing conversation that we had last week. It's a perfect reminder to make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. We put this show out as a podcast every week right after we get off the air. So you can subscribe to the Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast on whatever your favorite podcast platform is, because we're on all of them. And you combine that with a subscription to the subscribe to the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, and man, you're covered with all the best outdoor and fishing content there is. And Gabe, speaking of that channel, you're going to be interviewing the winners of the tournament this weekend. Give us a preview of that conversation and any kind of recap that you heard from the water this out there.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you brought that up. So last week, before we do live streams on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. So the Tuesday before the Big Bass Bash, we had Dion Hibben. He's a legend, Lake of the Ozarks area. And it's kind of been a spring and a fall annual, like biannual, I guess you would say. So we've had him on a couple times a year talking about the Big Bass Bash. And we do a prediction. We had Big Al McCall, who's the MC for Big Bass Bash Anglers in Action. He predicted an 8-pounder. Dion predicted like an 8.25. I predicted a 7.63 was my prediction. And lo and behold, it took a 7.63-pounder to win the Big Bass Bash. So that was just a wild shot. I mean, total luck, you know.
Lottery time.
Exactly. So I thought that was cool. But, next Tuesday, coming up here in just a few days, we're going to have the first, second and third place winner of the Big Bass Bash on our live stream. And we've done this once or twice before, and it's really cool to hear the lead up to the tournament, the preparation, the practice, what they did, how they caught the fish, the baits. You know, we'll dig pretty hard and get some good details on it, but it's cool to hear the story from the person and the vibe and the boat when it happened. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. So I'm excited about that to have. It's the first place winner is, it's always awesome to be the first place winner, but the second, third place winner has a story that's equally as good most of the time, because that second place winner was leading the tournament until I think like the last 30 minutes of the final day of the tournament. So there's some super drama right there. And I want to get,
I didn't realize that
story. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say that normally the big fish comes early on the first day, usually.
Right.
So for it to come late on day two is very unusual.
I think the guy, if I got this story right, I'm 95% sure this is the way it went. He caught the guy that ended up finishing second, caught that fish in the first time slot of day one. So he he held that for the whole tournament, 2 days, and up until like the last, I think it was the last 30. I think he caught it at 2:30. The tournament's over at 3 on Sunday, and I think he checked it in at 2:40.
What's the strategy of holding it?
The guy that won it, right, yes, exactly. There's, it took him 10 minutes to get into the weigh-in site, but yeah, so to think that you've got this thing wrapped up because the tournament is literally over in 20 minutes, and then boom, somebody drops that big one on the scales right at the, I imagine you've already told your family, you're going to buy your kid a four-wheeler, you're paying off the house, you got all these plans for this money, and then bam, reality check. So I'm really curious to hear how that story went down and get both, the second place and the first place guys account of how all that went down.
Mike, have you ever had I was going to ask you if you have ever had a dramatic moment, maybe not that dramatic, but in any of the tournaments that you have been in, whether it be win or lose, have you ever had a dramatic moment sitting there on the stage at the weigh-in? Tell us.
Well, the win is obvious, but the dramatic, I one time in a Bassmaster, remember the old weekend series game the Bassmaster had, which was the BFL, the Bassmaster's version of, I got two stories. I had a 742 and I thought I had big bass wrapped up, and a guy came in and dropped a 744, in the last four or five guys to weigh in. So to have a bass that big get beat, and then me and my team partner, Greg, one time had 22 and some change, and Mark Weesey and his partner, Jay Halsey, came in and dropped 23. And they were in the first flight, but they knew what they had, and they just sat there and waited to weigh in until the end. So, getting second place doesn't sound bad, but when you miss out on that $75 or $10,000 contingency Triton money, that's the difference between first and second.
When you bring in 22 and a half, almost 23 pounds, Mike, most of the time you're going to win just about any tournament. It's like, you got your chest pumped up. You're like feeling good. And for them to be sitting out in the parking lot just waiting, they're like, okay.
Let's
set these guys down here at the last minute.
It's historic too, because they've never, I've been following this tournament for a long time, and I've never known that big one to come in that, even the second day, let alone the last time.
It's
pretty rare.
They've just been getting hammered and pressured so much. And that's impressive. I mean, and do we know, Gabe, are either one of these guys big? Because a lot of times the guys that win this thing aren't necessarily tournament anglers. It is by far the funnest tournament for amateurs to get out there and fish.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We're going to ask all those questions.
Last year you got one out of a John boat, right?
The guy that won, he won on a Ned rig out of a small John boat with a spinning rod. Yeah.
My neighbor got second,
It's kind of by design.
What did Jim win last year? What did Jim win last year, Gabe? Because he won like three or four time slots. This is my neighbor, Tony. He lives just down the street from me.
Yeah.
And he won a big tournament the weekend before. And then he had second place in like two or three other time slots, right, Gabe, last year?
He had a bunch of them
marked on beds way up the river. Mm-hmm. If you haven't went and watched that, go back and find that 10 horse, because that was fascinating.
It's a really good one.
Yeah.
It really is fun.
That's fun stuff.
The guy that won is, Oh, go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say that the tournament is sort of, it's designed that way, you know, to give that puncher's chance that we were talking about in the first segment. And, you know, and I think there's a restriction at some level. Like, you can't be a full-blown pro.
No, I couldn't fish for several years because I made too much money.
Yeah, it was Big Al. You guys talked about
so much money, you can't get it.
Right. You guys mentioned Big Al earlier. That's who our guest was last week. And, you know, it's very much that, you know, that recreational avid fisherman's tournament. And it's, you know, being somebody at that level who loves to fish and loves to compete and be in tournaments, but isn't on the professional level, there's not any other tournament that you can walk away with $100,000 in from, Mark?
That is
a really cool opportunity. While we're talking about this, if you guys at the Catfish Classic or any of the tournaments that you've put on, what's the latest that somebody, has there ever been a late in the weigh-in stealing of the, you know, or surprise first place? Have you had that drama?
They've come in earlier.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
At least by the midpoint.
You got those big ones, Mark. You want to get them weighed, right?
That's what it is. I mean, yeah, you know, you got a 100-pound fish, your live well's only so big.
Right. You want to get that thing weighed ASAP.
Yeah.
Before he eats the 15-pounder you got in there, right? Right.
You guys.
Well, I you say that, Tony, about the recreation guy. Here's the thing. When I first started fishing the Big Bass Bash years and years and years ago, like the first few years they had it, I did laugh. The amount of blown tires on trailers I seen between St. Louis and Lake of the Ozarks, because it was guys that never trailer their boat that far.
Right.
Had like tires that were, they don't look worn, but they're 9 years old. Then you heat them up for 2.5 hours on the interstate, bam, there they go.
Yeah.
My record was 9 that I seen between here and the lake, and the least I've ever seen was 4.
Guys with blow tires than armadillos.
Yeah. What would be the number for each of you, Gabe and Mike? Gabe, you go first. We mentioned that, Gabe, you nailed it in your predictions of what it would take to win this tournament, 7.63 pounds. If you're out there competing in this, what does that fish weigh that makes you feel like you've got a legitimate chance? What number are you looking for think you have a legitimate chance at winning first place?
A mid seven for sure. Yeah. That, you know, on Lake of the Ozarks, there's been, when we talked to Dion last week, he had mentioned that he'd heard of 3 8-plus-pound fish, you know, low 8-plus-pound fish caught out of Lake of the Ozarks this spring that he knew about. And that's kind of a unicorn. I mean, that is a giant fish. That's a northern strain bass. It's just a really big fish in our area. You know, you go down to Texas and even Oklahoma, they catch them that big. They catch 10s and 12s and 14s. But in this area, an eight pounder is truly a giant. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but it's pretty rare. So for someone to be fishing in that caliber of tournament with that many anglers, the chances of them catching an 8-pounder were, I felt like that was a little bit overblown, even though Dion and Big Al guessed that. So for me, usually like a 7, 7.25 to 7.5. That's that caliber fish that, I mean, if I caught that and I had that in the boat, I'm thinking I'm top three for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so that's 7.5 would be a shoo-in for me.
Mike, where are you at?
Same thing, except I will add that if it's the fall Big Bass Bash, it's going to be a little smaller than that. It's probably going to be a 6 to 6.5 pound range. 10-pounders live in there, but they're not coming out to play when there's 1,500 boats on the lake. I mean, there's enough docks on that lake that those big ones can stay hidden if need be. But, yeah, if you got a 7.5 in the spring or anything over 7, you're pretty excited. And then the fall, I would say drop it by a pound and a half.
Yeah.
Right. Just because they're carrying eggs in the spring. You know,
yeah.
That adds.
Yeah.
You get a 7-pound fish that's full. Well, you get a 6.5-pound fish that's full of eggs, it's going to be 7.5 pounds.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That same fish in the fall is going to be 6.5-pound fish.
So this is an interesting.
And what's weird about this tournament, Tony, is sometimes just one, not necessarily by the guy in the John boat, because it sounds like he knew what he was doing, throwing a Ned rig. But there's been times when this is won by a guy throwing a wiggle wart over 60 feet of water on a bluff. You know, just stuff that random. You wouldn't, just random, like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It, but that's what makes it fun. You're never, ever out of it, you know.
It's,
you're only fishing for one bite, and you can change your approach. To me, it's one of the coolest tournaments, not only to win 100 grand, but just to go win $1,200. Or whatever.
Just the makeup of it, just the way it's put together, the structure, it's very unique. And I mean, the opportunity that it provides, I think it's so cool. And Mark, you know, we, over the years, we've talked about fishing stories. You know, everybody's got a fishing story. I mean, this tournament, that's the fishing story of a lifetime.
Yeah,
$100,000 fish out of a John boat. And, you know, you're one big claim to fame.
That's
as cool as it gets.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's as cool as it gets.
And it's $200 for a 2-day tournament, and they have 4 time slots per day, 2 days. Each one of those time slots, they're paying 45 places. And there's also, if you weigh in the exact fish that weighs 3 pounds or weigh in a fish that weighs 4 pounds, it's $500. I think 316, if a fish weighs 316, Justin Swass was giving away $1,000. So, and then there's a t-shirt. Like if you bought a t-shirt, they pay that 46 spot to a t-shirt owner. So it's not just about $100,000. You got a lot of opportunities to make your money back and pay for your trip if you catch a, you know, maybe one of the higher placed fish during just that time period.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, it's a super unique tournament. It's a fun time. It's like a deal where people, it's an annual deal for guys, you know, guys and gals.
Yes.
They put it on their calendar, just like opening morning of, opening day of trout fishing. That's a deer season, whatever it is. It's like people do that every year.
Yeah,
it's
we truly are blessed in this area, and we talk about this all the time, you know, with the Lake of the Ozarks, and then, of course, the other big lakes like Table Rock and other lakes that are in our area, big bodies of water, and then, of course, the rivers right here in the St. Louis area, right there, you know, in Alton by Bluff City Outdoors. Just these great opportunities to fish and these great tournaments like the Big Bass Bash and the Alton Catfish Classic, which is also open right now for registration, correct?
Yep, it's open. So, yep. We're at about 40 boats right now.
Yeah, don't wait. It's the tournament's in September, but it always fills up. So get registered for that on the not the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. I'm sure you can get information there, but the Catfish Classic has its own Facebook page.
Yep.
You can get
Alton Catfish Classic.
Yeah, you can get all that at. Mike, we got to get to the fishing report here in a second, but I just talking about the size of these fish made me curious about something. Whenever you're watching television and you see like the record bass, and, you know, like the 15 pounders, they're always big fish, but they have these giant oversized bellies. And that's what you don't, or at least me, that's what you don't see at the Lake of the Ozark. You see a lot of really big fish and you can catch some really big fish, but they're just big fish. They don't have these, you know, Frankenstein huge bellies. Is that just because of the, I mean, is that the difference of why it's, you know, why a big fish at the Lake of the Ozarks is more like a 7 or an 8 pound fish, which again, not knocking that at all. That's a huge fish and that's a great time, but we don't see those fish with those giant bellies in the Lake of the Ozarks. And I would guess that's because these fish are fighting for everything and they're moving around a lot. They're not just like pigs on the bottom of a small lake somewhere. Is that why we see that?
I don't think that's the case. Gabe backed me up on this. I'm saying that's the difference, between a 15-pounder and an 8-pounder, but it's a Florida-strain bass versus a northern-strain bass.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, Gabe, wouldn't that be your thing? I mean, if you catch a 15-pounder that's full of eggs, it's going to be full of that many more eggs than what a 7 or 8-pounder would be.
Right.
I mean, I can show you some pictures of me catching some pretty big 6-pounders that got a lot of, you know, that's got a pretty big belly on them.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Spots have we caught, Gabe, at the lake with giant bellies? Like, they feed well.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, those spots are always fat. And I think it'd be interesting to see what time of the year majority of the record or those just giant fish are caught. I would guess that it's like late winter, early spring. I know Mark has mentioned, you guys have talked about the huge catfish that are caught, and this is kind of that time period when see that 100-pound catfish. And
we've already had three this year.
That's
incredible.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
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 So I say there's something to do with, like, what Mike was saying, the amount of the roe, the eggs that are in the fish definitely adds weight. So you're going to get that caliber of fish typically in the cooler period. And you know, they spawn, say in California, they're full of eggs in like January and February because of the warmer water temperatures. Mm-hmm. Texas is the same way. Florida is the same way. They start spawning a lot earlier than they do around here, and they spawn a lot. They have like a 5-month spawning cycle. You know, around here, it's just a couple months for the most part.
Right.
So you got a chance of catching a really big fish that's full of eggs. It's going to add a couple more pounds to it. So I think that's in the diet, maybe. I mean,
they're eating rainbow trout out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Their gut is just stuffed. There's like a fat guy at a buffet,
right,
man.
They're eating 12 months of the year too. You know, instead of having that winter period where it's more stasis. That is Gabe Montgomery, AKA the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Mike Marfell is also on the line with us. We need to get you to the fishing report, this weekend's fishing report. You can count on us each and every week for a full fishing report, especially this time of year as guys are getting back out there on the water. If you need some help on getting prepared for your trip each and every weekend, make sure you are checking us out here for the weekly fishing report. We're going to get that to you next right here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 119-941 News Talk STL.
Working like a, you're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. I wish I had a rich uncle that'd kick the... This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 119-941 News Talk STL. We have got Gabe Montgomery, the 10 Horse Monty, on the line with us. Mike Marfell is here as well. Going to get you the fishing report, the weekly fishing report, here in just a moment. But, Mark, we've been caught up in all this fishing talk, which is, for obvious reasons, very exciting time of the year to be getting out on the water. But we have two very cool archery events coming up. The R100 is back, which I think is one of the coolest things. Big feather in your cap personally and your team at Bluff City Outdoors for bringing this archery event to St. Louis for the first time ever last year. And the guys at the R100 fell in love with
The facility,
the area, and all of that.
The Boy Scout camp,
and they're coming back for another year. And then also the Mountain Archery Fest. Both events are happening May 17th through the 19th. So coming up here in just a few weekends. Just remind folks what those two events are all about.
Yeah, at R100, it's a 100 target event, two different courses, and it's at the Boy Scout camp on that weekend. And the Mountain Archery Fest is it's got 5 20-yard targets. It's first time in the area for that. It's up at Campsville. So to go to our Facebook page, we'll be making some events and getting more detail out there.
Bluff City Outdoors show, our Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page, great place to go, not only to always keep up with the information about these various events that are coming to town, but also with everything that's happening there at the shop. Can't recommend following Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook enough. All right, let's dive into this week's fishing report. Mark, go ahead and get started.
Yep, we got a Truman, Jordan Lear, guiding a buddy out there. Crappie are good. Fish 6 to 15 feet of water, 2 to 10 feet deep in the mouths of the creeks, and 2/3 of the way up back up the creeks using jigs and minnows. Catfish good, anchoring at the mouths of the creeks. And on the main lake, from 20 to 35 feet of water, fresh cut shad. Bass good, main lake points and creeks with jerk baits, wiggle works, and rock crawlers in the creeks and the coves close to the spawning pockets on the transition banks are working. Alabama rigs are also working. Spinner baits are also working. Walleye fair fish up the creeks, the rivers and the creeks, casting jigs and on the main lake and secondary points with jerk baits. White bass and hybrids good. Fish the creeks up the river arms as they're making their spawn runs. 3-inch paddle tails, curly tail jigs, and white and chartreuse in the stained water. Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain fishing intel. The crappie are moving to the banks. Most spikes are coming on the banks in 6 to 7 feet out, about 18 inches deep. Color doesn't seem to matter. Bass are 3 to 8 feet in the water back of the pockets, and jigs are working well. Carlisle, Eric Morey,
fishing magician.
Fishing magician.
Said the catfish bite is pretty good shallow right now. crappie are starting to move into the rocks to spawn, and rising water temps got the bite turned on. The local rivers and lakes, again, Eric Moore.
They're not the only thing turned on. Yeah. Go ahead.
The catfish are biting good and are hanging tight to the bait all day. Largemouth are pushing up to hard to spawn and are on the beds already in some lakes. Crappie are beginning to push shallow and as well, mostly males, but also starting to see some females starting to show up. White bass and hybrids
are real sausage fest out there.
White bass and hybrids are schooling around the bait and are actively biting when you can find them.
I'll see myself out. I'm sorry.
Mississippi and Missouri River catfishing. Will Ash, the bites on in full gear. High water has got them moving around quite a bit. Like I said, we needed that shot of rain.
Yeah.
So they're eating everything in sight right now.
Including a buffet of cicadas coming up.
It's coming up. Ren, you have Fred Mooney out there. Water temp 60 to 62. The fish are pushing in the shallows, are more consistent now, primarily pitching slip bobbers and minnows, 10 to 12 inches deep around every stick around the shoreline. And Shelbyville, Nick Rose, Ramblin' Rose Guide Service.
Yeah, new guys.
Service temp is in the mid-50s. Crappie bite is picking up, getting better each day. Most fish are still suspended in open water, but are beginning to stage near the mouths of the common spawning areas. So they've been focusing on the shallow basins near the river channel and finding good success each day. Bait of choice is minnow over artificial tackle right now. So they should start biting jigs here real quick when they actually get into the spawn. And then over to you, Mike.
Lake of the Ozarks is all the fish are starting to move up. I shouldn't say all. Most of them are moving up because love is in the air. The bite is good. You can catch them on your favorite bait this time of year. Find those spawning pockets. And don't forget, there's still that second wave that will be on those secondaries and staging areas that we talk about. The channel swings, the rock transitions, the secondary points. But with that moon and the water temperature right, there's bass on beds, there's females pushing up, topwater jigs, Ned rig, and the the Carolina rig lizard at Lake of the Ozarks is pretty infamous this time of year. Can't go wrong with any of those choices. I personally would still might throw a jig if you ask Gabe. Gabe, over to you.
Really? You throw a jig?
Yeah, that's hard to believe. I was going to say the same thing, Gabe.
Shocker.
Hey, Gabe, I've got some new custom jigs from the new employee at Bluff City Tackle, so look out, people.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yep. I'm looking forward to checking those out.
You will love them.
We'll book in this fishing report here. So I've been out in Southern Illinois a couple times over the last couple of weeks, and like Mike said, definitely is a spawn going on. We're in the middle of a full moon cycle. So there are a lot of beds up shallow, but that doesn't mean that there's fish on the beds. Something that's been going on, and I've talked to a couple other guys that fish in this area pretty consistently, is one day you'll go and you'll see fish on the beds and you'll catch them the very next day, especially with these kind of cold fronts that come in and the pressure changes, those fish will slide off. So you'll see a bunch of vacant beds. What's happening is those fish are typically sliding out just a little bit deeper, and or the females that you were seeing the day before have already spawned. Something that happens, some people don't realize this, but a female doesn't stay on the bed all that long. Most of the time you're seeing the males on the bed. So a female will come up on the bed, she'll do her thing, and like 24 to 48 hours later, she is gone. So you're typically seeing the male that's left there to defend all the eggs. But, and here's one more tip, another pro tip. A lot of the bigger fish do spawn out deeper. So typically, yes, if you're seeing a bed, it's most likely some of the smaller fish in the area. The bigger fish are out just a little bit deeper to where you can't see them. And if they are spawning in stained water, they do have a tendency to stay on the bed, the females, a little bit longer because they feel a little bit more secure. So something, if I was going out this weekend, this is something that I had a lot of success on. I have a video coming out next week on this. I would throw a wacky rig. There's nothing better to fish around pre-spawn, spawn, and post-spawn fish than a wacky rig. On a spinning rod, 10-pound fluorocarbon tied to like 15-pound braid, which is like a one-aught wacky style hook. And whatever your choice of stick worm is, a Yum Dinger, Hogs Custom Baits, makes a good stick worm, Cinco, whatever you want. Just wacky rig that sucker, skip it around these shallow overhanging trees, logs. If you see a tan spot, skip it over there and let it fall. And that's, in my opinion, that's like the best way to go out and have a really fun time and catch fish of all sizes. So just cruise down the bank, look for those light spots, get the little wacky rig, warm up there, and hold on. Look around. You got to move around a lot. Something that happened, I'm a little long-winded on this, but something that happened last time I was out is I looked in several spots that fish typically spawn in, and there was nothing there. I finally found a little section of the lake where there were beds everywhere. So I tried to run that pattern again to, you know, some more areas, and there weren't fish up yet. So they don't spawn all in the same area all the same. They don't spawn all at the same time. Sometimes yeah. they'll spawn in certain areas and they're not in other areas. So you got to move around, look for what looks good, and just use that wacky rig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's a really good tip. And I know Mike says that a lot. Also, you can't.
That second wave sometimes will spawn on the main lake.
Yeah, don't get stuck. Be willing to move and find where they are, and you can have a really really successful time out there right now. That is Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, regular guest here on Bluff City Outdoor Show. Mike, really appreciate your time as always, my friend.
And appreciate you.
And Gabe Montgomery from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Gabe, I am very much looking forward to the interview, the conversation that you're going to have with the guys who won the Big Bass Bash there on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Remind folks, when that video will be out. And then as I said earlier, make sure you subscribe to the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel and subscribe to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. And you got all the outdoors content you need. But when is that interview drop on the channel?
So we do our live streams on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock Central. And I'm dropping videos on Wednesdays and Fridays on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel.
Love it. Really appreciate your time, boys. Thanks so much. And I'm sure we'll talk to you guys both very soon. Really
good
appreciate
talking
it.
Again.
Yeah. See you guys soon.
All right. That's going to do it for another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show. For producer Quentin and my partner, Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors, I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loved